I'm not a loser, but sometimes I do loser things.
In the event that this fails, they'll never be able to come to me and say, hey, remember that podcast you did that didn't go so well? No, that was our podcast. We did that.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to episode 31 of the In My Own Words podcast. My name is Tony R. Sanders. I will be your host for the day. Happy Sunday, everybody. Super happy to be here. I'm not going to lie. I started the podcast a little distracted because for some reason I jumped on Facebook. I know why I jumped on Facebook. I was going to put in my Facebook group if anybody... I sound weird today for some reason. Let me see if I can fix that. I was going to say if anybody is still awake at this hour and they wanted to be a part of the podcast to let me know. There we go. I sound much better now. To let me know, and I was going to just call some people. But when I got on there, I realized that there was somebody I thought I was friends with who I actually am not friends with. They came up on a suggested, like, recommended friends list. So I went to their page. I'm like, yo, I thought we were already friends. Turns out we're not friends. I don't know what I did. I don't know what I said. Maybe that'll loop in somehow to what we're talking about today. Let me send this message. I'm going to hit him with the you up. You up? Who wants to call the podcast? All right, so I figured it out. I figured out what I need to do with this group. So I started this group because I have so many dope and amazing conversations with people about some of the content that I create, and specifically the content that's created on this podcast, right? Some of the subject matter that I choose to talk about, it seems like a lot of people have information or opinions or thoughts on those topics. And so I thought, man, this would be cool to start this group where we can all discuss these topics, because a lot of weeks, like this week, a lot of topics come up and I haven't figured out a way to address all of them. I shouldn't say I can't address all of them, but I haven't figured out the best way to address all of them. And so I thought it would be dope for the ones that I don't get to address on the podcast, or for even conversations that maybe spark or grow from the podcast, we could have one centralized safe space to talk about all of these things. Here's what I learned. I learned that there are people who are on the podcast, not on the podcast, they listen to the podcast, they're in the group, and they want to share their opinion, but they want to share it with me and not with everyone else. They don't want to share it with me and not, quote unquote, the world, right? So I'll get messages and text messages from people and DMs, and they'll see me in person. It's going to say, hey, I was going to put this in the group, but I figured I would just DM you instead. So I get it. I still love to talk to you guys about the podcast. I still love to get those DMs and those tweets and those text messages. All of that is dope. But one day we can create an audience in there that would want to share their opinion with more than just me. Also, I think I touch on some topics that could be considered a little risque from time to time. I don't know if this is your first time listening to the podcast. Maybe you should go back and listen to some previous episodes, but maybe that happens from time to time, right? So I get that, you know, you may not want to share your exact thoughts on abortion, for example, right? So I understand that, but it's an interesting learning experience, and that's what I'm looking to do, is just learn new things. And I'm definitely learning new things, new problems to solve. So I still need to figure out the best way to continue to engage people online after the podcast is over. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Also, in addition to that, if you're watching this on video, different setup. I don't know if I'm going to keep it. I don't know if I like this setup or prefer this setup more than the others. Honestly, I had another good day flipping, and so I wanted to display some of the things that I purchased over the last 2 weeks. But most of the things that you can see on the video are actually not for sale any longer because they've already sold. And some of the really dope things that I picked up today, the biggest, best pickup are some trading cards. I got some sports basketball cards that this guy was selling. He was a collector ever since he was a kid, and now he's an adult, and he feels like it's silly. I don't. So he sold me like a couple hundred cards for $10. I looked in there, a couple Michael Jordan cards, Allen Iverson, Reggie Miller, Stephon Marbury, Carmelo Anthony rookie card, Chris Bosh rookie card. Who else do we have in there? Dwayne Wade, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, Peja Stojakovic, Manu Ginobili, David Robinson, Glenn Rice, Glenn Robinson, just a bunch of people, a bunch of really, really cool cards. And just one of the cards, I paid 10 for the entire lot. Just one of the cards, one of the Michael Jordan cards is worth $97.99. $100 off 10. So I won't go on a whole flipping thing, but if you have garage sales in your town and you need to make some extra money, there is no excuse for you not to make extra money. There's definitely, definitely, definitely opportunity out there. So let's get into some topics for today. There's a couple things that I want to talk to you guys about. First of all, I always think it's important for people to address their own. What I mean by that is this. If I have someone that I know that is acting out, right? They're doing things in public that probably shouldn't be done in public. They're doing things to bring shame and dishonor to themselves. It's good if someone within the family calls them out, right? It's good if someone within the family calls them out, because once that happens, you know it's being done in love, right? If an enemy or somebody you don't know is calling you out, you're not sure if they're doing it to shame you even more. You're not sure if they're doing it to be petty or just to spite you or just to say, hey, I know something about you. I got something on you. I got dirt on you. But when it comes from family, from people you know, love, and trust, you can say, you know what? I know this is coming from a good space. So with that being said, I have to say something to the Beehive. Now, as a new member of the Beehive, I don't know all the rules. I don't know what you should and should not do. I don't know where you go swarm and where you don't go swarm. But what I do know is this. We have to make sure that when we, I don't even want to use the word attack, when we come to the defense of the queen, we have to make sure the queen is actually in distress. Let me say it that way. When we come to the defense of the queen, we have to make sure that the queen is actually in distress, because, ladies and gentlemen, Beehive, because our power is so strong and so potent, we don't want to waste it. And this time we wasted. For those of you guys who don't know what I'm talking about, Beyonce was at the finals game with her husband. You may have heard of him. His name is Sean Carter, Sir Carter from Brooklyn, Jay-Z. They were at the game, and the owner of the Warriors, I believe, one of the owners of the Warriors, his wife was sitting next to them. Now, according to her story, she was trying to be a good hostess. She was asking them if they needed something to drink or if they were comfortable. And Beyonce and Jay couldn't hear her. Now, of course, when you're watching this video on TV or you see the clip when it's reposted online, you can't hear the conversation. All you can do is see the body language. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been living for 32 years and I've only met one body language expert. I've met people who say they're good at body language, but I've only met one expert. There's a difference. There's a difference between somebody who says they're good at something and someone who's an actual expert. Someone can tell you that they're good at heart surgery, but I still want the expert. Now, we had a lot of people who aren't great at body language look at the interaction between two people trying to converse on the sidelines of an NBA Finals game in a loud arena where music is playing, where fans are screaming and yelling. They're trying to have a conversation, which is probably not the best time to have a conversation. And from that, a lot of you in the Beehive deduced that she was flirting with Jay-Z or saying something to Jay-Z in front of Beyonce, leaning over Beyonce to whisper something to Jay-Z that made Beyonce uncomfortable based on her body language. Now, I saw the clip. I think it's super cool to see that clip and start making jokes. I think it's super cool to take that clip and start making memes out of it. What's not cool is when you swarm to her Instagram and start telling her to kill herself because she was flirting. All of a sudden, she's Becky with the good hair now. Jay-Z is cheating on his wife with his wife in front of his wife. someone's whispering in a loud arena. Really? This should have been a WOW award. But I wanted to be respectful to the Beehive. I ain't trying to cause no problems. I don't want to stir the pot or stir the nest, however you should say it. So I'm just going to give you a little
WOW.
Okay, that's it. I'm not even going to give you a full WOW. I don't want any problems. But sometimes when there's family issues, we need to handle it as a family. We don't need any outsiders. We don't need Barty Gang coming in and trying to tell us how to handle the Hive. Okay? We don't need the Barbs doing whatever they do, trying to come and tell us how to handle the Hive. We got this. All right? We got this. We know what we're doing. We just need to be more careful with our power. That's all. I wanted to address that. I wanted to make sure that we got that out of the way. Another thing, man. This is interesting. I've seen several dynasties in the NBA die. I've seen several dynasties in the NBA die. Thinking back to the Bulls dynasty, right? I was hoping it was over when Jordan retired the first time. Then he came back and they won three straight. And then it was over. And when it died, there are a couple things that you look for in a dying dynasty. You look for people who are now outplaying their current contract, right? So you have people who signed an agreement based on their prior work, which isn't as great as their current work, and now their current work is far greater than what their current contract is paying them. So what happens at the end of a dynasty is there are people who are out-earning their wages, and now they're going to demand more money, typically more money than the franchise that they're with can offer them. Now, I know the NBA's put in rules to make this not be the same, but that's typically what happens, right? That's one thing that happens. Another thing that happens is you have unhappy superstars. I witnessed this with Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe were a dynasty. They won three out of four championships. And then you had a superstar that was super unhappy. I remember Kobe Bryant going on the radio demanding a trade. He wanted out, right? And so you have to make a decision. You have to split up the team and still try to win down one less superstar. And then you also have those situations where players are getting older. They're thinking about life after basketball. They're retiring. Their bodies just can't do it anymore. We've seen that with the Spurs. What's interesting now is with the Golden State Warriors, we're seeing it on all fronts. We're seeing the players that are playing well above their contract. Right? I would say Draymond Green is playing well above whatever they're paying him right now. He could be a max player, maybe not a super max player, but a max player on other teams given the production that he does. He's a walking triple-double. I know everybody gives Russell Westbrook a lot of credit for triple-doubles, and you should, right? He's averaged a triple-double for two seasons in a row. But when it comes to playoff basketball dominance, when you talk about a team that's been to four finals in the last 5 years? Won four finals, on their way to winning four finals, or at least trying to win four finals in the last 5 years. You can't have those championships without Draymond Green. In fact, a lot of people say that if Draymond wasn't suspended during the, I believe it was the 2016 finals, they would have won that one too. And LeBron wouldn't have that finals in Cleveland, that championship in Cleveland. That's what some say. So you have that situation going on. You have these unhappy superstar and Kevin Durant. And you say, why is he unhappy? He's getting paid. He's living in California. You know, he's there in Silicon Valley. He's making his shows. He's making his investments. And he's winning rings and finals MVP. Yeah, but he still listens to the chatter. He's still a guy that wants to hear all great things about himself. And he wants to shut up every hater. And I appreciate that. I appreciate his willingness to shut up every hater, but I think there's two ways to do it. When you have haters, you can shut them up one of two ways. You can either continue to win and shove it down their throat so much that they don't have anything else to say, or you could try to appease them and do what they're saying that you should do. Kevin Durant is taking option B. At least it looks that way. He's taking the option of, okay, you guys think I can't win a championship? Let me go to Golden State and win a championship. Okay, you guys think I can't do it alone when I'm the head of my team, when I'm the heart of the team, I'm the best player on the team? Okay, well, let me do it as the best player of the team. I won two finals MVPs back to back. Now what? oh, but it's not my team because I wasn't drafted here. I didn't start here. I'm not the heart and soul of the team. Okay, now let me step up to the plate and take that challenge. That's what Kevin Durant is doing. And then you got the old guys who are just falling apart. You got Andre Iguodala. You got Sean Livingston. These guys are just at the point in their career where it's the end of their career. And so I'm saying all that to say, I think the Raptors are going to win the NBA Finals. I said this actually in game, at the end of game two. Even though the Warriors won game two, it was funny. It seemed like they kind of won it on accident. It seemed like the Raptors were still the better team. I was shocked in game one. I said, wow, the Raptors just look like a better team. And I thought that was really, really interesting. We have not been able to say that about a team facing Golden State in a very, very long time. Even the team that LeBron won with, I don't know that they were the better team. I think they got better breaks. I don't know that they were the more talented team. When you look at the Houston Rockets team last year that took them to seven games, that almost forced the Golden State Warriors out of the playoffs in the Western Conference Finals. I don't think that those Rockets were a better team. I think they were a good team. I think that if they brought that exact team back this year, they would have had a better chance, especially with Kevin Durant out. But the Warriors still have the better team. This is a series where I feel like the Golden State Warriors don't have the best team. And I understand they have injuries. Maybe Klay's not 100%. Kevon Looney played the other night. He played okay. Boogie's not 100%. Looney's not 100%. KD's not there at all. They say he's going to be back for games 5 and 6 if necessary. I don't think 6 is going to be necessary. I think the Raptors get it done with a gentleman sweep, winning the NBA Finals 4-2-1. And that's pretty crazy. And I think that the majority of it is from Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi Leonard is an animal. I think he's a monster. I think he's doing some incredible things and doing it in an incredible way. Every few years, we get a superstar that dominates and they do it slightly different. Bird did it different than Dr. J and Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West, right? But Magic did it a little bit different than Bird, and Isaiah did it different from Magic, and Jordan did it different from them all. And LeBron came in and caused a ruckus because he did it different from them all. Kobe did it different. Kawhi's doing it different. He's not saying a whole lot. He's not, and when he does say stuff that's so simple, it's like, why did I even ask him that question? He's not pushing a lot of buttons. He's not making a lot of noise. He's going out, doing what he needs to do when he needs to do it. He's not getting rattled. He's being there for his team the way his team needs him to be there for him. So, you know, a round of applause for the Toronto Raptors. I really enjoy seeing them win. I remember playing basketball in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada in 2001. And I was there for the International Peace Games. And I remember our team winning and me being the MVP of the tournament and winning a signed Vince Carter, Toronto Raptors basketball, which is really, really great. I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to that. That probably worth some money. That should be on the table behind me, ready to be flipped right now, but it's not. So salute to them, man. I think that it's really cool to see the changing of the guard in the NBA. It's really cool to see a team who hasn't done it pull together and get it done. So I really think that's incredible. With that being said, let's move on to a new music. Now, I haven't been listening to new music as much as I would like to listen to new music, but I did hear some songs off the DJ Khaled album. And apparently DJ Khaled is pretty upset because his album wasn't number one. Let's take a listen to a video that he posted.
I gotta say this too. I make albums so people can play it and you actually hear it. You know, driving your car, you hear another car playing it. You know, go to the barbershop, you hear them playing it. You know, turn the radio on and you hear them playing it. You know, it's playing everywhere. It's called great music.
You know.
It's called albums that you actually hear the songs. Not no mysterious shit and you never hear it. On your dome.
Now, that is from DJ Khaled, a.k.a. Khaled Khaled, a.k.a. We the Best, a.k.a. Bless Up, a.k.a. Lemon Pepper Wings, a.k.a. on Weight Watchers for 19 years and ain't lost a pound, a.k.a. Father of Assad. He is upset because his album came out and it wasn't the number one album in the world. And so now he's blaming everyone except for himself for him not having the number one album.
Wow.
Think about that for a second. You, in your mind, in your own creative space, created an album and it didn't do what you thought it was going to do. It's not number one. It's number two, by the way, but it's not number one. And now, not only do you want to blame everyone else, you also want to blame and take shots at the guy who made it number one.
Oh my God! Wow!
Now, I have to say this, the number one album I have not heard, which actually kind of helps Khaled in his point. Khaled is upset because he says that Tyler Creator's album, Igor, is some weird, mysterious stuff that no one's ever heard. Well, apparently somebody heard it, Khaled, because they've streamed it and purchased it way more than they've streamed and purchased your album. I think he sold 140,000 copies, which is incredible, but Tyler sold more. So I don't know how you can get upset and start to take shots because someone did your thing better than you. Think about the lack of accountability in that statement. DJ Khaled is upset because someone sold more albums than him. He's not upset with himself, though. That's the part that I don't understand. That's the part that the mindset of people who really win, who are really champions, have. Now, DJ Khaled doesn't know how the internet works because he posted that video, realized that he was wrong, and then deleted that video. But things on the internet never get deleted. That video will live on forever. And at some point, I want to hear him say more about that video. There were reports came out that he was mad and went up to his label and was yelling about the performance of the album. And I could be honest, I listened to Khaled's album. I didn't listen to Tyler Creator's. I listened to Khaled's, and I'm sorry, man. It just wasn't that great. It's not an album, and I said this on here before, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. It's not an album that you have to rush to and hear. It's not like, oh my gosh, it's going to be such an experience. I have to rush and hear this album. It's not one of those. It's almost an album that you don't have to go to. You can let the album come to you. That's an interesting thing that happens in music. Some albums, when they come out, you have to go get them. You have to rush to it. It's like must-see TV. It's like appointment listening. If Jay-Z were to drop an album right now, I'm going to be up for the next 4 hours because I got to listen to it. I got to go see it. Other albums, you just wait for them to come to you, and they normally do. Some people say that about Drake. Drake is going to make a record so big that you don't have to go looking for the record. The record is going to find you. Lil Nas X put out a record, Old Town Road, that is so big that you don't have to go looking for that record. That record will come find you. They're playing it during the NBA Finals. You don't have to look for that record. Khaled normally produces music that you don't have to go find. That music comes and finds you. I wasn't looking for Khaled and Chance the Rapper and Bieber, You're the One, or I'm the One, or whatever the one was, whoever the one was. I wasn't looking for that record. That record found me. I wasn't looking for Bryson and Khaled and Rihanna on Wild Thoughts. That record found me. It was a great, great record. And so normally, no one's rushing to the Khaled album. So what happened was, when that album came out, there was none of the songs on there that really found me. I went to listen to it. I liked the Nipsey joint. Obviously, anything that comes out that has a new Nipsey verse on it is going to slap. It's going to do very, very well. But as far as the project is concerned, there's not really a standout song on there yet. Now, standout songs, Chris Brown and Drake just dropped a song. That's going to be a standout song. That's going to be a standout song. That's a song that you don't have to go looking for. Give it a couple of weeks. Let the album come out. That song is going to find you. Somehow, that song is going to get in front of you. And so I wanted to throw that out there. Speaking of things that are great experiences and that you have to see, I would encourage everybody to go see When They See Us. When They See Us is a documentary by Ava DuVernay. Let me give her a round of applause. It details the 5 men of color who were wrongly interrogated, wrongly tried, wrongly convicted of the sexual assault and the rape of the Central Park jogger. Now, this story happened in 1989, April of 1989, which means I would have just been turning 2 years old. So I don't really remember the story happening. I do remember different things coming up just throughout history about the Central Park Five. And what I love about what Ava did with this documentary or docu-series, it's a four-part series. It's not necessarily a documentary. It's a series with actors that detail not only the case, but I love that she humanized the boys in a way where you can see their lives and their lifestyles and their parents and the full totality of who they were or who they are as human beings, and not just the Central Park Five. In fact, she says she didn't name it Central Park Five because she didn't want people to get confused and just dismiss them as that, right? She didn't want to politicize the documentary in that way that Central Park Five had been politicized, right? So a brief overview of the story. There was about 30 kids in Central Park late one night having fun. Slang term that we all know now was wildin', right? We even have a TV show on called Wildin' Out. They were quote-unquote wilding in the park. And around that same time, different side of the park, there was a lady who unfortunately got beat and got raped. Now, they had a lady working the case who was, she was a hammer looking for a nail, if that makes any sense. Like, she knew that a crime had been committed. She knew that these guys did it, and I say new in air quotes. And so all she felt like she had to do was make the evidence fit them. She literally said every black kid that was in that park is a suspect. Well, that's not how the justice system works. And this documentary or series, I keep calling it a documentary, but the series is great because it gives you a peek inside the justice system. And if you never had any dealings with the justice system, let me tell you that the justice system that we have sucks. Let me tell you one myth about the justice system, and this is not my deep dive of the day, but I need to talk about this. The justice system is not innocent until proven guilty. It's guilty until proven innocent. Let me explain. If you, random you, were to go to the police station now and say that random guy raped me, the first thing that they're going to do is lock that guy up. Now, according to the 13th Amendment, he becomes a slave to the city, a slave to the state. And the only way he can get released from his slavery is to bail himself out with the X amount of cash. Essentially, you have to buy your freedom. And even then, buying your freedom is not always accessible. It's not always an option. And sometimes they put your bail so high that it's not even likely. It's not even possible. It's not even in realistic. So now here you are, a slave, and the justice system is so slippery that if you don't know your rights, now we can abuse those rights. And that's exactly what happened with the Central Park Five. They were interrogated. All boys between the ages of 13 and 16, one being 16, the other ones are 15 and younger. They were interrogated as minors without their parents or guardians. They were forced and beaten and coerced into statements. All statements, by the way, that conflicted each other. None of the statements matched. Even when they got them to quote-unquote confess to the raping of the Central Park jogger, none of the statements matched. Right, they essentially forced them to all tell on each other, which a lot of the guys didn't even know the other guys that they were naming in their statements. The police officers wrote the statements for them and then forced them to sign, again, without a guardian, without a parent, promising them if they just signed the paper, everything will be fine and they could just go home. See, I'm not a detective. I've never played one on TV. But if I were one, I would think I would do that a little differently. You think? I think I would do that just slightly differently. I think I would probably start with the facts. Let me see what evidence I do have. And then let me see what potential people had the opportunity to commit this crime. And then let me match those with the evidence. See, even when they had the evidence and they had these quote unquote suspects as children, the evidence and the suspects didn't match. They found DNA. The DNA that they found in, on, and around the woman did not match the DNA of the five. Yet and still, they get sent to prison. And even one boy, the 16-year-old, gets sent to Rikers Island. So I would say watch it. I would say mentally prepare yourself. I tried to watch it on Friday. It didn't happen. It was so sad and gut-wrenching that I had to turn it off. I couldn't finish it. I literally turned it off, and I was emotionally exhausted. I had to take a nap. Like, legit, I had to take a nap. And then today, I put it back on, and I determined to finish it because it's an important story. It's important for history purposes, for educational purposes, to know the justice system, and for empathy service purposes, to empathize with people who've been in that situation, who've been victims to our justice system and their process, which is guilty until proven innocent. So I would definitely say watch it. Try to do your best to make it through it all. Maybe you should watch it with wine. I don't know how you need to watch it, but definitely check it out on Netflix when they see us. All right, let's get into the deep dive of the week. I want to talk to you about censorship. Censorship on social media specifically. Now, if you guys don't know, YouTube on Twitter fell under some heat because of a very controversial content creator on their platform who, let's say, said some dumb things. Now, I've been debating whether or not I want to play these clips, and I've landed on I don't, because whether I agree with, I don't agree with anything Steven Crowder said in these clips. And they're very hateful, and I don't think those things need to be said in order to make my point. Does that make sense? So I need to make a point. I was going to play it for educational purposes, but the things that he said were too hurtful, in my opinion, to play to even make an educational point. And I will say this is one of those topics where I have more questions than answers. I will say this is one of those topics that even once I get done talking about it, it's going to be inconclusive. This is one of those topics that it's hard to navigate because there's so many different roads to go down. So I'm going to try to do my best to organize my thoughts in a way that will make sense to you as a listener and also leave an opportunity for you guys to comment and let me know your words. So Steven Crowder, who is a right-wing comedian, and I'm 100% sure that I'm summarizing this partially wrong. So let me just throw that out there. But from what I've gathered, and I've only watched one of his videos, he's a comedian. And I think that's important to the context that we should talk about this discussion. I feel as a comedian, you do have a comedic license to say things that normal people can't say. In fact, one of my favorite parts of me doing stand-up is I get to go on stage and say some things that I probably would never say in normal conversation because I have a comedic license and I'm doing it from an art standpoint and not just a crazy person, you know, saying words, right? Here's where it gets tricky. If some of our favorite comedians walked off the stage, sat down like I'm sitting now, in front of a microphone the way that I'm sitting now, and did a YouTube show or a podcast and did the same jokes and told the thought process and the motivation and put context around them, I don't think that you guys would be too welcoming to it. Just one man's opinion, but I don't. Now, what Steven Crowder was doing, he was talking about Carlos Maza. Carlos Maza is a writer and a content creator for Vox.com. He also creates content for YouTube. And from what I can tell, one of his main platforms that he runs on is that he is gay and that he's queer. Now, I won't pretend to know what all these words mean and to be educated enough to really speak on these things. I just found out last night that there are two other letters and possibly more to an impossible. I saw that it was LGBTQIA+. It's like a spades hand where you have two more in a possible, I guess. I don't know. I found out that the A is asexual and the I is intersexual. I still don't know what those mean. I'm saying that to say I'm not the authority on this topic. But I do know from Carlos Maza that one of the platforms that he runs on is being gay. And so the guy Steven Crowder made a video talking about and attacking one of the opinions of Carlos Maza. And by the way, while attacking his opinion, he also poked fun at Carlos. Now, the way that he poked fun at Carlos is not something that I approve, but a lot of people deemed it as hate speech. So that brought me to my first question. What is hate speech? Is hate speech saying something that is derogatory about another race or subset of people? I would say yes. Where it gets tricky is what if it's not necessarily derogatory in verbiage, in the word, and what if it's not a slur? For example, Carlos Maza, his username on Twitter is Gay Wonk. He calls himself gay. He calls himself a queer pretty often. So when Steven Crowder calls him gay and a queer, it's hate speech. But when Carlos says it about himself, it's not hate speech. Is that how it works? I don't know. And I'm asking. I think that we need to have a universal definition of what hate speech is. Now, is the history of gay and queer something so hurtful and hateful that if you're within the community, you can use it, but if you're without the community, you better never use it? Maybe so. I don't know. I legitimately don't know. Because I know some people are saying, well, yeah, you black people do that all the time. You can call yourself a nigga. You can call your friends a nigga, right? We all niggas, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga. But I can't say that to you because I'm not within that community. I think it's more than you not being within the community. That's a component of it. A bigger and larger component is the history of hatred and I would even say the demonic nature in which it was originally said to us on American soil. It was a word that actually in Africa was used to be very complimentary and to show a certain status level of richness. But then, you know, it got altered in the slave south of America. Whole different conversation. So maybe gay and queer is like that. I don't know. But as a result of this, YouTube demonetized Steven Crowder's videos, which basically means they shut off a nice sizable stream of income for him, which I guess they're well within their rights to do. My question is this, my next question. How do we determine when we should take away an opportunity for someone to speak? Do we do it when people say things that we don't like? Do we do it when people say things that are hurtful to other people? Who gets to decide? And then it depends on this. So YouTube came out and said that he didn't violate their terms of service, which means they created this thing. This thing has rules. If you want to play with a thing, you have to play by the rules. He played by the rules, and now he's demonetized. Which takes Steven Crowder and that situation out of it. Why would that work for anybody? They demonetized him because of the amount of attention it got and the amount of people that were upset about it. But how is that fair if I'm playing by the rules that you set? Censorship is a scary thing. It's scary for a couple of different reasons. I think that Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and social media, which is the new current stage of the internet, which for most people is the primary outlet and resource you use to connect with the world, is way too large to still be considered private companies. I think that someone with a big platform going on Twitter, going live on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and sharing their feelings would be the equivalent of walking downtown to your town square, to your town hall, to your city county building, standing on the steps and spewing your opinion. It's become a town hall now. And so once it becomes a town hall and people start to speak out, I'm exercising my First Amendment. Now, yes, you are a private company. You have the opportunity to set rules. But once I follow those rules, why am I still getting punished? And I'll tell you, this one hits different for me because I've had videos recently pulled down off of social media sites. And I've been censored myself because of things that I've said on this podcast, which is the craziest thing to me. I'll tell you the things I got censored for, and I got emails from Facebook and Twitter and Instagram saying these have been removed until X, Y, and Z is determined and blah, 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 blah. Me asking, should Christians be pro-choice? That video got taken down. Enough of my good Christian brother and sisters were upset about that video to a point where it got taken down. The video that I made from the podcast about Michael Jackson's Butterflies, potentially him singing with the motivation of a young person, boy or girl, due to his constant allegations of sleeping with young people. And I don't mean young as in legal. I mean, you know what I mean. So I think we get to a scary place when we let YouTube decide or Facebook or whoever running these companies decide when free speech is okay and when it's not okay. Especially as a creator and someone who values the ability to share my opinion. So I think we're at a scary time right now with free speech and social media platforms. It's a private company, but when you encompass billions of people, is it really that private? And then if I follow the rules that you set in place and I follow those rules, why am I still getting censored? What determines when you censor me or not? Is it a financial thing? Right? Is it a feelings thing? Does it matter what side of the bed you woke up on? And all my creators should really be in tune with this, because this is something that's going to be extremely valuable for you as well as you go forward to express yourself on these platforms. So that's it. Like I said, it's going to be inconclusive. I don't have the answers to those questions. It's more so just a trail of thoughts than me bringing you solutions. And I think it's going to take a while to get solutions. We're on the edge of a place we've never been before. And so there are still kinks that we got to work out. And I think how we determine free speech and how we utilize that and how platforms can infringe upon that based on the terms of service that we sign up for, I think is a conversation that we'll be having for a long, long time. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.